This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience. My name is Dick Girard, and my co-host is Pat Draw. Pat, how's it going today?
Good. Yourself?
Good, good. So let's talk a little bit about the last couple weeks. Boy, we've seen some dramatic changes, haven't we?
Well, you know, that's the crazy time of year in Colorado. I mean, depending upon where you're from or where you have family or whatever, I mean, you know, you get this time of year and most people just think of it in terms of, oh, it's the rainy season. Where for us, this is where we get all the snow and we get probably a lot more temperature swings than we do in, you know, December, January, February, as you know.
March is the, I believe it is the snowiest month that we get here.
It is. Yeah, it is. And it's crazy because like in the high country, I mean, it's the best time for, you know, skiing and the activities because not only because there's that much, usually that much more snow, but also the temperatures are a little more moderate. So it's the cool time where you're like, you're up there and you know, maybe this is going to sound crazy to anybody who's not from Colorado, but maybe it's only 20 degrees, you know, and the sun's out compared to, you know, sometimes where you're in December, January, where you can get up there and do things and it's, you know, it's zero or super cold and windy and stuff like that. So it's definitely that time of year where it's, you know, for me at least, it's a little more fun to get out in the high country and do some of the snow stuff just because it's really enjoyable.
Right.
But you also don't know what you're going to get, as we saw last week here.
Well, and it's crazy how much snow. It's more snow than I've seen up there in years. You know, it's amazing. But when you get the contrast and you get, you know, the last few days that have been sunny, you know, I'm a little nervous on how fast that runoff's gonna be too. You know, hopefully it cools down a little gradually so we don't have too much flooding and that type of thing, because there is so much snow up there. I mean, I've heard things of 150 to 200% of our normal snowfall up there right now. So that's great. You know, yeah. Reservoirs will be full and everything will be, you know, everything will be great. But we just wanted to, it got real warm here in town this weekend. So
I'm looking outside right now. I mean, if I could turn my camera and point it out there, you'd see there's almost no snow 10 floors below us. And just last Wednesday and Thursday, it was, you know, it was a foot closer to the ground. Maybe a foot and a half.
Absolutely. Yep. No, it's amazing. My neighborhood, everything's gone, you know, and
is it really out there? It's gone?
Except for in the shaded spots, but
in general, you guys get a little more snow and it stays a little longer.
I know. It's gone though. It's you know, in the shaded spots is still there, but it's just amazing how fast it goes. I mean, the kids were sledding in the front yard you know, on Wednesday, and now there's grass. You know, just amazing how fast it goes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. One of the cool things around here that we do is I know a lot of the people that I, you know, ride my bike with or ski or snowshoe with, this time of year is when they try and do both in a day. It's kind of their fun thing is to go skiing in the morning and then, you know, ski a partial day. And then especially after daylight savings, like we are now, head over somewhere where it's dry and ride their mountain bike for a couple hours and you can do it. You know, golfing. Obviously right now it'd be a little bit of a drive because you'd have to, you know, head a little further south to be able to truly ride. But I didn't do anything in the snow this weekend, but I rode my mountain bike on Saturday all day.
Yeah. Same with golfing, you know, go skiing in the morning and golfing in the afternoon. You know, that's what people do. And
the golf courses are open. I've seen a couple of them that were clear on the east side of town in the plains that are completely clear and there are people out there golfing.
Yep. No, it's amazing. And that's the beauty of Colorado. You get every type of weather and, you know, like they say, you know, if you don't like the weather now, just, you know, wait a couple hours and it'll change.
Well, and I think a lot of people, well, what they do is that you don't see in the national news, you don't see how good it is after all this happens. All you see is that it happened. And so I think people like my family always call like, oh my gosh, you stuck inside. Do you have enough bread and milk and water? I'm like, I just got done riding my bike for 2 hours.
Right.
Where'd you ride that? You're crazy. I'm like, no, here's a picture of what it looks like outside. Snow's gone. Everything's good. 60 degrees. They're like, what?
Yeah. Well, the news totally blows things out of proportion, you know, with everything, you know. That's what people call me all the time, you know, and it, from Arizona and stuff, thinking we're snowed in. And it's like, no, we're up in the mountains skiing, you know, because we're not snowed in at all, you know.
You know what's funny is we do a lot of trips to Sedona because it's not that far away. and it's great mountain biking. And it's, you know, between Flagstaff, which has weather like this, and Phoenix, which is obviously, you know, where you're from is, you know, super hot, deserty type stuff. Right. But the temperatures are really never too far different between here and Sedona. I mean, the difference is we get a lot more snow than they do, but a lot of times you'll see it's, you know, 38 or 42 degrees and sunny here, and it's, you know, 40 to 45 and sunny there.
Right.
So I think what a lot of people don't realize is Denver is actually a high plains desert. So because, you know, they see pictures of the mountains, and even though they're right there, you know, the edge of town, you know, it still creates a completely different weather pattern in terms of what happens here. And so when you're, you know, you get into the Denver area, it's not unusual to see 70s in every single month of the year.
Yeah. Well, when I moved here, I was actually born here, and then I left when I was like 6 years old, and then I moved back. But I really thought that it was, you know, like Minnesota, you know, where you're iced in for, and I was a little disappointed my first winter because it was like, what is this? You know, I mean, this, oh, it's great. The snow's here. And then boom, it's gone the next day, you know? And it's like, it's just amazing how fast it goes. Now I love it. You know, you don't have to shovel your snow, if you don't want to, you know, you just wait a couple of days and it's gone.
Well, I can attest to your Minnesota comment because I was not only born there, I started my first, I played football in college there for a very brief period of time, actually in Bemidji, which is far northern Minnesota. And I didn't realize it at the time because it just didn't dawn on me, but the whole campus is connected with underground tunnels. And I was like, well, why is that? And they're like, oh, there'll be months on end. You don't go outside here.
You're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't – I mean, to me, winter, being in Colorado, winter is something totally different.
Right.
You know, you just – well, first of all, we embrace it. I'm not going to sit there and tell people, you know, that the drivers here are any different than anywhere else, because people get a little goofy when there's a little bit of moisture no matter where.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, people go out and recreate. You know, like I'll go to the dog park and there are still 20 people there with their dogs, even in the middle of a blizzard. Or I'll go, you know, snowshoe right around the front range, or I'll hike or do whatever. And there's still people out. The parking lots are still, you'll have people in them. It's not, you know, it's not desolate. People still get out and do things. The weather here does not kind of cripple everybody's ability to, you know, go out and do the things they love to do, which is really cool.
Yep.
You know? Especially, like I said, after you go through, like, the thing we went through last week, you know, the blizzard. What was that called? It was called a...
Yeah, the bomb cyclone.
Yeah, the bomb cyclone. Yeah, after
That's you go through the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, me too. And I've had a lot of people asking about it. Like, I don't know. It was a blizzard. I mean, it was 50, 60 mile per hour winds, and it was a blizzard, and it was snowing like mad.
Yep.
You know? But look at the next day. You know, even the next day on Thursday, which, you know, it was still snowing. The wind was kind of, you know, dying down and going away. It still was like, you know, mid-30s and sunny. And, and all the snow had started melting just from the sun because the sun's so intense here.
Yeah. Well, and the streets were fine after you got out of the neighborhoods. They had them all ready to go. So, it's amazing how it can change. That's for sure. But that's what we love about, that's what I love about it. You know, I grew up in Arizona where there was one season, you know, and it's great to have the different seasons, you know, and, you know, cause it really, and like you said, I love going up to the mountains in the summertime. You know, it's awesome, but I love it in the wintertime too, you know? So there is something to do all the time around here because it's not 20 below zero, you know, hardly ever, if ever, you know?
Right. Well, you know, we just talked about my brother being in town a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, he's already made plans to come back in the summer just to redo the exact same things he already did.
But totally different. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, there's still a million other things to do here.
Right.
You know? But it's like I said, that's just kind of the whole thing. And that, you know, that's kind of wraps us around to really what we do with the channel, and especially the podcast. We're just having kind of good conversation about, you know, why it's so great to live here and the different things we can do. But I mean, think about it. Like, he came here and visited. This is his first time in Colorado. And now he's, you know, in his mind at least, and who knows where it goes. I mean, he's thinking, how do I live there? How do I live in a place like this? But it's interesting because I had this conversation with him, and he's like, yeah, he goes, I know, but once I moved there and had a real job, he's like, I know that all that stuff kind of goes by the wayside because I'd be working all the time. So I'm like, that's not how people here really do it.
Right.
I mean, people are very serious. You still have high levels of professionals. You still have, you know, great companies and organizations. But they realize the need to kind of get that part of your life addressed as well as your professional life. So they understand with, you know, you wanting to get out, not just on the weekends, but after work, you know, or a lot of people get out during work. I mean, our office here in the tech center, when the weather's, well, especially when the weather's nice, we can look down in the street and you see, you know, hundreds of people just, you know, around the tech center running and walking in lunch, stuff like that. So it's just the nature of the beast when it comes to being in Colorado. People want to get out. They don't want to just do it on the weekends or once a month. They want to do it all the time, you know. And that really leads right into why we do some of the things we do in terms of the channel and, like, talk about the outdoors from your front doors. You know, think about, you know, like, we have a flexible schedule. Seems like we work 24 hours a day, but we kind of can fit some things in here and there. So, you know, maybe for you, I know you're a morning person because you got to shuttle the kids around and stuff like that. I know you're up early working out in the morning.
Yep.
Well, how, you know, you have the opportunity because of where you live in your area to jump on your mountain bike or to throw on your running shoes or whatever, you know, and leave right from your door. And there's trails not, you know, 100 yards from your door. You're actually one of the more fortunate ones because it's right there.
Yep.
You can ride 30 miles. You know, you can ride from where you're at, you know, in your area all the way out to the far west side of town without even touching pavement. It's all dirt.
Yep.
You know, and that's pretty cool. And I think that's, you know, like I said, if that was something like that was your passion, you know, like mountain biking was your passion or even trail running was your passion, or even it was just something like, hey, I like to get out. You know, I just want to get outside and be outside before I start my day. You can do it and still be in the office by 9 o'clock.
Oh, it's funny because my next door neighbor, he's a big mountain biker, and they were talking about moving, I don't know, a year ago or whatever. And he was like, gosh, my wife wants to move, but there's no way I'm moving from this place. You know, I love this house. But you know, there's no place that you can just ride your bike like this, you know, and just ride from your garage and go to the places that I'm able to go. So he's exactly that person that you're talking about. He is not going to give that up, you know, no matter what, you know.
Right.
And you shouldn't, you know, if that's what you, and he is riding all the time, you know, and it a couple weeks ago he was riding, and he'll ride all summer, and he just rides all the time. And that is what we're, why shouldn't you, you know, why shouldn't you live in those kinds of places? You know, and if you're a surfer, you should live close to an ocean. You know, you're a mountain biker, you should live close to a mountain bike trail. If you're a runner, you should live next to the places that you can run, you know, and, but just walking and hiking and, you know, there's just so many opportunities around here, and there's so many people that do it, that it makes it much more fun when there's a lot of people around and that type of thing too. It's not like you're all by yourself in the middle of the wilderness
either. Yeah. There's just like, I don't know if this is the right word, but I call it like assumed participation, right? So it's like, hey, there's other people out there, I better get out. You know, because there's also an argument that you know, some of the trails and the places are overcrowded, but that's during peak times. You know, you can go anytime in the morning and anytime in the afternoon and pretty much have, you know, all the run of all the trail systems, and you'll have people out there, but it's not crowded. You know, if it's 75 degrees and you go out to one of the local, you know, area parks and think that not other people are thinking the same thing you do between, you know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning and 2 or 3 in the afternoon, you're crazy. I mean, everybody wants to get out. But at the same time, I mean, that's what's so cool about it, because it gives you that opportunity to go out and do the things you want to do right from your house. And again, I mean, I know that our segment on the Thursdays when we do that outdoors from your front door is really geared towards kind of riding or running from your garage door or whatever and getting onto the trails right away. But even just living close by, like I, you know, there's a lot of people I know that live in, like the Littleton area. And maybe they're a little more inland in Littleton, so they can't get to the Jefferson County parks or even some of those southwestern Douglas County parks, whatever, as quickly as our segments want to do. They're still a great place to live. They still drive in there, you know. So there's also a whole other side of that. And I've got people that I work with professionally that actually, you know, are self-employed that have put their offices, like I got one guy I've worked with forever that moved his office to Lakewood just so he was right by all the trails, because that's where he spent most of his time. It was easy commuting back and forth from home because that wasn't his big deal. But, you know, being right at his office so he could go to work, you know, leave it, you know, the middle of the morning, go for a 2-hour bike ride right from his office, go back, shower up, and then finish his day at work. That to him was how he made that same thing work for him. And it made more sense, you know, than actually living, even though he lived further, you know, further east.
Well, and if you, I mean, we go to places all the time. We don't just go to the places that we can go to right here out of the garage either. You know, we drive to places all the time, and it's just a short drive, you know, and it's something that you just should take advantage of. Find out what your passion is. If it's biking, fishing, hunting, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, but do it. You know, and get into an opportunity where you have the time and you have the money to be able to do it. And that kind of transitioned us a little bit into another reason why we do this, is just to really get the message out that, you know, buying a house, buying a first house, buying a second house, a third house, a fourth house, it is one of the best ways to accumulate wealth that there ever has been and that there ever will be. It's not any different than it was in the 50s buying a house and building wealth than it is today. You know, it is still a tremendous opportunity. And you talked to a couple people this weekend kind of about that. And why don't you kind of share a little bit about their experience in the last few years buying houses?
Well, what it is, I mean, I worked with some different guys on the trail systems, and I've just had general conversations with them. And part of it, which is really cool, because one of the questions that always comes up is, you know, how do you have the ability to walk out in the middle of the day or in the middle of the morning or what afternoon or whatever it is and just go do these things? And so I always pay attention because my job is flexible. Like I said, it seems like we work 24 hours a day, but we can kind of do a lot of things when we want. Right. And so we're able to get out. But a lot of people, they seemingly have these 9-to-5 desk jobs. And it's always the question amongst the group of people that we deal with or we work with or we ride with or whatever. They're like, hey, how do I get out in the middle of the day? That's when I really want to get out and enjoy myself. You know, on a Tuesday at 11 a.m., that's what I would love to do, but I can't. You know, and part of the things that I've seen, and definitely in the different age groups, because the people I'm talking about that I've talked to just with these situations or these examples, you know, they're probably in their mid-40s, upper 40s, but they've started accumulating wealth by buying real estate early. And I'm not talking about going into situations where they wanted to be a landlord. I'm talking about them buying their first house, and then when they are ready to buy their second house, they kept that first house and saved it as a rental.
Right.
You know, and so what happened at that point, again, these are examples, but they're pretty prevalent in terms of a lot of people I've talked to and a lot of people we've dealt with over the years. So not any different, but it's a great example that relates directly to what we're talking about on our segment in terms of how do we find more time to do this? Well, these are people that are still relatively young that have got some flexibility with their life and their lifestyles now because they've accumulated wealth through real estate. And it's a big difference. I mean, to take a house that you might buy when you're 30 years old, you know, and then it's just you or maybe just you and you're in a relationship or whatever it is, and you buy it. Well, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you have a child or you add a kid to the mix, you know, and then what happens there is you've outgrown it. Well, maybe one or two things happen, depending on how you lived in that house and when your timing is, you know, you're going to accumulate some wealth just purely off the payments you are making because you are choosing to make payments basically to yourself rather than to somebody else who's paying their mortgage. Right. And so rather than renting, you bought a house. All right. So one or two things happen. And there's a lot of examples for both. You know, some people will sell, and I've got a great example on that one. Some people will sell the house and roll that money into a new one and do that repeatedly over time, where eventually now they're in their late 40s, and they have a house that's paid for, right. You know? And what that creates is obviously you don't have the same pressure on you if your house is paid for and you're not even 50 years old because you're not sitting on a large mortgage payment. Right. You know, so maybe there's flexibility there. Or the other examples that you were referring to that you and I were talking about earlier are people who have just accumulated wealth through keeping their real estate over time. You know, bought their first house, kept it. Maybe they got married, had a kid, you know, bought another house and then kept that, moved into maybe they upgraded again. Now they've got a couple of rental houses you know, rental properties that somebody else is making the payments for them on and are paying those things down. And that, you know, the balance on those houses goes down as the value of those houses goes up by somebody else making those payments.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing we're doing if we rent a house. We're doing the same thing for somebody else. And what they should be doing is sending you a thank you note every month saying, thank you, you're investing in my future heavily.
That's right.
You know, and that's what it is. That's something that I think is incredible. And again, our advocacy with when we talk about this, Dick, is not to sit there and go, you guys should all be real estate investors, because that's not our point. Matter of fact, we don't focus on that. I have a lot of investors as clients. That's a whole different animal. And right. So I don't necessarily recommend that to everybody. It's not for everybody. But what I do recommend for everybody is being a homeowner and investing in yourself compared to somebody else. And when it relates to the things that we're talking about here, it gives you the flexibility potentially to do the things you want to do in life.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of people don't realize that it's possible. You know, I have an example of a couple who got married, bought their first house. They stayed in it for a little while, then they decided to rent that one out and buy a new house. And because they had a baby, you know, so they did that. And now they're doing that again. And they've gotten their third house, and two of them are rentals. And they've got over $1 million worth of property in, you know, 4 years that right. they own now. And they do not make a lot of money. You know, we are able to use the income that you get from those leases to offset the payments so you can qualify for kind of the same house each time that you do that. You don't have to qualify with all three payments. So, you know, if you're making money, and they're making money on those houses. So they, and like you said, the biggest thing is they are buying those mortgages down as those houses have appreciated. And, you know, they're making over $1 million. I mean, they have $1 million worth of real estate now after 4 years. And, you know, they don't make that, you know, $200,000-$300,000 a year like you think that these real estate investors have to make to be able to do that. So it is possible. And like you said, we're not saying that everybody should do that. It takes a certain person to be a landlord and to, you know, to do that. But like, you know, you have options. You can sell the place and move up to the, you know, move up to a higher place property and have $1 million property in one house versus $1 million in three houses too. So there's all kinds of different ways to do it. But the bottom line is, you are building wealth. You know, you have to live somewhere, and you might as well take advantage of that and build some wealth there. And I believe that it's the, you know, and I've been in the stock market and in a lot of different investment capacities, and I truly believe that real estate is still one of the best ways to build wealth over, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
Right. And, you know, thinking about it in terms of, you know, because a lot of people always say, what's the downside? I mean, obviously everybody, because people, I mean, the news focuses on certain things, and there definitely is, the market does go up and down. But the difference is this: unless you're going to be in the capacity where you'll not need to live somewhere, like, are you going to move back with your parents? Are you going to live on the street? Those types of things. You're going to have to live somewhere and pay some sort of rent unless you have a unique situation that's free. And most people don't have that. Right. So they got to pay to live somewhere. So the idea is that, you know, that you create your own benefits. And, you know, if the market ever does kind of tail off or go down a little bit, the history shows it always comes back up. I mean, it has for decades since, you know, the 30-year mortgage was invented right after World War II, you know, it's kind of when it came out. And so the idea is that, you know, buy a house, pay yourself, pay your own mortgage, don't pay somebody else's mortgage, and buy your equity down. You know, and then you have options, because that's really what you want. You don't, you know, you could go in with a strategy, you know, and it's not like we sit down with people and go, let's strategize on what your long-term outlook in real estate is. You know, we're not that, that's not kind of where we come in, but the idea where we come in is like, hey, what is your focus on this? You know, because when you're getting a mortgage, especially where rates are right now, and they're really solid, if you're getting a mortgage now, I've had a number of people that have said this very thing to me. Well, I've I'm in a relationship. I don't know where that's going, but I've been in it for a couple of years. You know, so I just want to buy this house because I know what's going to happen is, you know, at some point, if I do end up, you know, getting married or, you know, the relationship goes even further, then what I'm going to have to do is probably get another house because we'll have kids in our family or whatever. But I'm going to buy this one and with the idea of potentially renting it down the road. All right, well, that makes sense. There's something to look at because now we're talking about future carrying costs, you know, interest rates, buying rates down, a lot of strategies involved in something like that, more so than just, I want to buy a house. You know, and so we go in and we have these conversations. But like I said, I mean, there are plenty of people that just say, I'm going to live in this now and I want to be able to pay it down as quick as possible. And how can I do that? You know, and then, oh, hey, now I have a, you know, a significant other and now we want to buy our own house. You know, and so that house we're going to sell and we're going to use the equity from that house and from the house that they have when they sell and we're going to put it into this house. I've seen them both. Those both strategies work and they both work really well. And again, like I said, the downside, it's just like a 401k though. I mean, a lot of people say, oh man, the market's going down. Well, guess what? If the market ever goes down, unless you're retiring at that point in time, that's opportunity. Same thing on the housing market. You know, if the market's lower, that's an opportunity to buy a house and create wealth when it comes back up. You know, and again, it means nothing to you unless you're selling right then and there.
Well, and when you're dealing with investments, you're looking at your options and opportunity costs, and right. there's no other investment that you can live in. You know, that exactly. You can't live in your Apple stock or your Microsoft or, you know, Amazon, you know, that you can buy stock in those companies and it could go up and it can go down and talk about volatility. You know, it's had a really good run, but there are going to be times where those things are going to come down. And just like with real estate, you know, they're going to go up, they're going to go down, but you can't live there while they're going down. And, right. You know, so that's something that's really important to look
yeah,
at.
Yeah, you sweat out. If your 401k goes down, you kind of sweat it out, even though you're not accessing it, you can still sweat it out. If the value of your house goes down a little bit, who cares? It's going to come back up. And unless you have to move right then and there, it means nothing to you.
It doesn't matter, right?
The house is only worth what it is at the time you're going to sell it, no matter what.
That's right. So. That's right. Well, I think we went through a lot of things today, but you know, the beauty of living in Colorado and the experience that we can have, and we experienced a lot with the big snow last week and the sunshine this week, and it's something that we love about Colorado. And then talked about the wealth effect of the, you know, buying a house, and we think that that's important on being able to experience those things in Colorado. So please, if you know somebody who's looking to buy a house or, you know, just has some questions about it, forward this to them and we'd be happy to talk to them. If you'd like to get a buy versus rent analysis, you can text the word rent to 720-650-6440. And we will be happy to get that over to you. But and you can definitely follow us on Facebook and at the Colorado Real Estate Experience. You can go to www.coloradorealestateexperience.com. And we have a YouTube channel also. So any way that you can, just let us know if you have any questions or you'd about any of the stuff that we talked about.
Sounds good. Have a great day. Yeah, let us know. And stay tuned on this week for all the great things we're putting out there. Everything from, you know, what opportunities there are in the market, what opportunities there are with rates to, you know, different places you can live by different recreation pieces. Got it all coming this week. So keep an eye on our channel and we'll keep bringing you good stuff.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care.